Pentecost Sunday has arrived, in which we celebrate the events of Pentecost. I've spoken on the subject and the various things about it, perhaps more than any other subject. And yet, what I covered on this Pentecost, perhaps more than any other celebration or memorial of it, is that I stop talking about it so much and start living it more. But truly, when you look at the presence, the power, and the work of the Spirit, and what it has to offer us as individuals, I have yet so much to gain that I haven't yet gained. And that's my prayer for each one this morning. Would you bow your head and say, Lord, teach me what I need right now. Thank you, Lord. The day that changed everything. I could elaborate on that. But truly, everything between God and man changed at Pentecost as the Spirit was released on this earth in a new dimension, with new purposes in both calling people to Jesus, in honoring Jesus, in empowering the followers of Jesus. Everything changed that day. But I would rather reflect something that connects with a Sunday school lesson on what changed in the unifying effect of God's plan and purposes and the way God attempted to bring people together after Pentecost. And to make a comparison, I read two scriptures. The first is in Genesis 11. Genesis 11, you need not turn to it. You can if you want to. At this time, the whole world spoke one language and everyone used the same words. Can you imagine that? As people moved from the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylon and settled there. And they said to each other, let's make bricks and bake them to make them hard. So they used bricks instead of stones and tar instead of mortar. And they said to each other, let's build a city and tower for ourselves whose top will reach high into the sky. We will become famous, then we will not be scattered over all the earth. What an idea. Can you imagine that? No language barriers. No matter who they were, you could understand them and you could communicate. And you would think God would like it that way. But he didn't. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people had built. The Lord said, now these people are united. Isn't that what he wanted? All speaking the same language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. They will be able to do anything they want. And he immediately brought confusion and separated and isolated them according to their languages, which we have until today. And now, Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a noise like a strong blowing wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something like flames of fire that were separate and stood over each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak different languages by the power the Holy Spirit was giving them. There were some religious Jews staying in Jerusalem who were from every country in the world. And when they heard this noise, a crowd came together and were all surprised because each one heard them speaking in his own language. God, in one situation, confuses the one language, separates everybody. Now, in this situation, unifies the language. God is something else, isn't he? Can you figure him out? I can a little bit. But with that in mind, with that background in mind, I want to pursue into the experience in Acts. And just to give us a understanding of the setting, gathered together now in a house in Jerusalem, the apostles are overcome by a great wind-like sound from heaven, anointed with tongues that appeared as fire in each of them. They're all filled immediately by the power of the Holy Spirit and able to speak in the languages of every nation. It is difficult to know what to make of the tongues of fire. Some see them as an outward symbol of the gift of utterance given the apostle. But it is not difficult to see the significance of the apostles' newfound capacity to speak in the languages of the world. As there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And now, they could communicate with every devout Jew. The Holy Spirit on Pentecost fulfilled two purposes. It gave God the ability, it gave man the ability to understand God in the new dimension, and it gave man the ability to understand man and to communicate with man in the new dimension. You cannot leave either out of the picture. It was not all God. There was something happened between human beings at Pentecost and a new respect and an understanding about what it means to be a human being. And it all comes together surrounding this one human being who was and is God named Jesus. Peter then picks up on the situation and explains it, but it's interesting to hear what the observers have to make of it. There are normal people like us, and ever since Pentecost, the church, as well as others, are trying to figure out what happened. And they were the same. They said, these guys must be drunk. And Peter immediately responds to that, and I like what he says. It's too early in the morning to be drunk. And putting it all together logically, he's saying, it's not the time of the day to be drunk, it's the time of the day to have a hangover from being drunk. Do we look like we have a hangover? How many know what a hangover is? Know about a hangover. I think I do from observance only on others. I think I had felt like that, but not from wine. So I have a question I want you to prayerfully consider and hear what God says to you about it. Three questions. What are you appearing like to those around you today? Someone who has a little intoxicated with the fire of the Holy Spirit? Or someone with a hangover? Like, oh, yeah, I remember when I was happy. I remember when I was excited about Jesus. But man, it's rough now. Think about that. Where are you at? Third question is, do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Being intoxicated a little bit with the Spirit, happy, excited about Jesus, do you know what that's all about? Consider those three questions. I need to consider that. Am I still a little intoxicated by the Spirit? Or is it just a hangover? Things in the past when I was excited. Or do I care at all about any of it? Question. Peter launches into a message of explanation. Remember, Peter doesn't have any notes. He hasn't previously prepared. But what Peter is doing with the help of the Spirit. Notice, I said, the one thing is happening now. Man is able to hear God in a new way. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. When my vehicle has problems, I need a helper. Someone who is an expert in vehicles. When I'm preach a sermon, I need a helper. Someone who is an expert in sermons, someone who knows the hearts of the people, someone who is going to help me translate the word and make it relevant. That's what happened at Pentecost. That's what God wants to happen in every sermon since Pentecost. So much beyond us, and yet we become this vessel. Peter was a vessel. And notice the content of his message. What is happening there, Peter, I believe, never had a respect for people like he did that day. Peter was up and at it. Disrespectful to people, I would imagine, from some of his action activity. But today he saw these people hungry for God. Today he cared about every one of them. That's what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit makes you love people. I love that chorus we sang about what the Holy Spirit, when it will come down, when we agree and we respect one another, see each other as a potential capacity for the presence of God. Peter looked out there and thought, wow, I'm feeling great. But some of these guys don't look like they feel too great. This is for everybody. But what happens is the Spirit of God gives Peter the ability to help them connect with God. And if you look at the content of this great message, he first of all identifies them on their religious beliefs. Of course, his were the same previously. He helps them understand that both Moses and David had something to say about the person of Jesus. That got their attention. He honored David. He honored Moses. They honored David. They honored Moses. Yeah. But did you ever notice, folks, that they both had something to say about Jesus? And he connected with them of what it was they had to say, and that was that God the Father had established Jesus in a position of honor. And Moses and David recognized the position that Jesus was given of honor. And then he said, you crucified him. Now hear me clearly. I really believe that there was such a feeling of guilt and condemnation. And in that crowd were those that had condemned him. And according to their law and their religious beliefs at that time, if you did what they did, you were guilty of death, and God's previous established laws said that you were to die. And they knew that. And when they said to Peter, what shall we do? They were asking a loaded question for. They were in dire circumstances. To go to the priest and confess their sin wouldn't work because the priests were guilty. That's tough. When in the religious setting you have no place to go. But Peter said there is a place to go because it's Pentecost and things are changed forever. You go straight to the throne in the name of Jesus, you acknowledge your sin, and you will become a believer and one of his chosen ones. The message of Pentecost. Do you notice the unity now that has happened? God bringing them all together. Pentecost was a revival. Revival is when religious people get turned on for Jesus. That's revival. There might have been some unbelievers, but basically it was revival. Pentecost was when there was a revelation of Jesus that became relevant to the people. Pentecost is where the disciples finally came to the conclusion that they had been searching for all along. That this life of following Jesus and having a king really is worth living. They had believed it before, but they saw it from the context of a visible person and them ruling by his side. Now they saw it from the context of a person who was visible but now unseen to them, and his very spirit dwelling among them. It all changed. Because I believe when you walk with Jesus, there was a sense of his presence there that you could feel. Have you ever felt the presence of the Spirit? If you haven't, you know it. But if you have, you know it too. And when Pentecost happened and the Spirit came, I would assume that they said to one another, you know what? He's here. You can feel him. He is with us. And we want him to stay. And we welcome him forever in our hearts. Yes, at the Tower of Babel, there came a separation that we recognize very strongly today. Distance and isolation. Nations became icebergs detached from the whole of human society, isolated by oceans of misunderstanding and distrust. But the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost with fire. It licked at the heads of the apostles and heated them until they could emerge among the peoples of the nations to melt those understandings that divided. Suddenly everyone could hear them speaking in their own language. God did, in this case, as God always does, God goes the distance for people. He did not require the people to hear in Aramaic or Greek. God used the apostles to speak in their own language. Their isolation was overcome by heavenly initiation. But it was not merely their lack of communication that God overcame. God created the ultimate sense of community and communion among them all. And here they were, from various communities with various customs and cultures. And at that time, I'm told from what I studied that in the Jewish religious system, there were about 16 different groups who had and stuck to their separate beliefs, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they argued and debated over their differences. And I can only assume that among these 3,000 people, every group was represented. But you will find in the book of Acts from that day forth, it didn't matter what they believed about nationalism with Herod. It didn't matter what they believed about the Pharisaical law and legalism. One thing mattered from that day forth, and that was that Jesus Christ was Lord. And in his name they went forth in might and power. It was this reality that changed that day. If Babel turned the world upside down, Pentecost turned it back aright. God's Babel work has been reversed. God's Pentecost work has begun, and it continues among us, attempting to change the isolation and differences that bring so much horror among us. From a local publication, I picked this up the other day, and it's referring to this past month between April 20 and May 20, which we've just been through. This is what it has to say. This month was uncommonly violent. Just outside Bridgewater, Jonathan B. Grayton II, 23, shot his neighbors and held police at bay for more than 20 hours from the home shared with his grandmother. Killed was Carol Gardner, while her husband, William Gardner, was seriously injured. At a shopping center behind Valley Mall in Harrisonburg, Brewer Hoover Jr., 65, of Harrisonburg, was convinced that he was about to be fired from home patient business. That's when he shot and killed two co-workers. and then he killed himself. In Augusta County, the family of Jesse B. Clayton, 57, of West Augusta, was also shot when he shot and killed his wife. That's close home, isn't it? Why does it happen? Because people feel isolated, and then Satan gets into that isolation, concocts crazy ideas and own beliefs and own realities that they think are real, and in that state of confusion to defend themselves, they kill. All over the world it's happening. It happens on a national level, and it happens everywhere. But my friend, Pentecost has happened, and the world is no more confused now than it was in that day. When you look at the history of that era, and the violence and the frustration, the dominance of governments and the persecution and all of that, it was there today. But Jesus took a handful of people and graciously dealt with them and nurtured them, and through the Sunday since Easter, we've been talking about how he graciously dealt with the disciples. And what was it that carried them through, and what are the principles that brought them to Pentecost and fired them up? And I want to review them just briefly. And this I find running through the whole thing and still retaining throughout the book of Acts. These disciples wanted Jesus' presence. And because they wanted him, he came to them. In all those isolated incidences of his appearances between Easter and Pentecost, it was because they wanted to see him. And because they wanted him, he came to them. And he opened their understanding of his presence. And as a result, they worshipped him. And then they fellowshipped together. And then he opened the scriptures concerning himself and the present circumstances. And he informed them of God's immediate plans. And he instructed them on how to participate with those plans. And we come to Pentecost and we find now that in a spiritual sense, without his visible appearance, the same thing is happening all over again. We come to Pentecost 206. Let me tell you that the same thing is in place for those that want Jesus' presence. Those that want him, he comes to them. He takes them through the same processes. He instructs them of his plans. The difference between the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel in Pentecost is this: a group of people wanted to be unified to promote their purposes and what they wanted to do, and their pride emerged, and God brought it down. But at Pentecost, a group of people weren't worried about their purposes. They had learned to surrender that. They were concerned about his purposes, and they humbly worshiped Jesus, accepted him, followed him, and he brought them together. And he still does. And they went forth, honoring his name and bringing glory to him. And I think as we take all of this into consideration, of what we can do in response to that is simply sing together that old hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," and worship him just like they did. Glenn, will you lead us in and stand together?
Number 97 in your blue books. 97, great song. Remember this from men's chorus in high school. It's back a few years, but Marvin, how about coming and leading us enough?
Might accompany and I might drop out, I don't know. Yeah, we'll go.
We'll get it here eventually.
Let the good news of the gospel ring. Amen.